Listen up. You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Good morning. Morning, y'all.
Mama, we made it. Greatest alive. I don't know.
I mean, that's how you feeling. You know? I don't know.
Morning, Ambush.
Morning, Morgan Jones.
Morning, fiancés.
Hey, Michelle, what's good?
Good morning, Michelle.
Yes, there we are. I fumbled a little bit. There was a button that was supposed to be pressed that wasn't pressed. I'm just so used to being pressed all the time. I got caught off guard. But we're here.
Made it.
Mama, we made it.
You know? I don't have any freestyle skills, so I was just like, a one, two, three.
A one, and a two.
That's what I should have done. The Lawrence Welk. Dang. Missed opportunity.
Lawrence Welk.
One of these days, all of the comedic things I think that we do in our home will right. make it. That I think are funny will make it.
Am I thinking of the right person? Is this the entertainer known around the world, but especially in the Finger Lakes?
Yeah, that's, indeed.
Okay. All right.
Way to nail it.
All right.
Fiancés, are you listening?
Man.
I asked that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I asked that because we have, just a humongous thank you to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
You help us drive the fun drive.
Yeah.
Big time. Like, bah, 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 bah,
bah. Bodied it.
Now, I wouldn't use that word. And the reason I wouldn't is because we did not win. However.
Okay.
We, and I know, fiancés, you are going to find this just as heart-wrenching as I do. And I'm trying to decide. Do we go? Do we give? We came in third.
Yeah.
We came in third by $1. One single USD.
Yeah. Yeah.
One.
So the reason I was going to say we killed it is because overall, all of the shows, all of the volunteers, all the programmers, our goal was to hit 10K. And we hit 11.
For our peer-to-peer.
Yeah, for our peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
And we hit 11.
We hit 11.5, like, baby.
Yeah, like, that's major. Like, thank you all. Like, thank
absolutely
all
outstanding. Man. No question. Yes. I'm sorry. I skipped a beat. It's what I do. I do apologize. First, huge, humongous shout out. Dope Mix Dave blew every single one of us out of the water.
Yeah. Got to give props where they do.
I mean, out of the water.
Yeah.
So.
Across the pond. This is.
I was really trying to think of a way to give some shade and accolades in that moment, but I don't have any. In all honesty, fantastic work. Fantastic work.
Yeah.
And
DNA.
Good old Dan. You know, we do love and appreciate beautiful music. And everything that you do.
Yeah.
Dan.
Yeah.
Great. You're fantastic. And you are, a second place winner this time around. $1. I'm just going to maybe randomly say that throughout this entire broadcast. But there is no anger. Just, like I said, heart-wrenching moment of reading. I came in third by $1. However, Fiance John, I hope you are listening. Thank you so much for seeing me for the... competitive person that I am and appreciating it and helping me get to that almost finish line. This was incredible. Appreciate y'all so much every single time, all the time. Ambush.
Yeah. I didn't want to just jump in on you, but you were still. No, yes, absolutely. You guys are the reason we show up.
No.
You know, that's half of it. We like hearing the sound of our voices on the air, for sure.
Nope. Speak for yourself.
One of us likes hearing the sound of our voices. The other one likes hearing the sound of the other one's voices. Uh-huh. But we really, really love, like, really, really love the engagement, the text, the Instagram engagement, the in the streets engagement. Like, yeah. And, you know, it's election season, so things are going to be heating up. So you're going to be hearing a lot more of our mouths and seeing a lot more of us in the streets.
All over the place.
All over the place. But we definitely appreciate y'all. Just know that, like, for real. Michelle said, technically, Mercury retrograde ended a couple of hours ago, but you know, it takes a minute. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
The grace Michelle gives us is just top tier.
Yeah.
Top tier. So, per every Thursday, it has been a week.
Yeah.
Ambush.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
Yeah. I was double checking some of those details on the cash refunds.
Uh-huh.
DOJ has put in place. So, if you guys didn't know, breaking news. The Department of Transportation, right? the Department of Transportation has put in place new rules for the airlines. And it sounds...
Is it that the doors have to stay on?
Not those yet, unfortunately.
Oh,
those, you know, do whatever you want with
Maybe
that.
Maybe there's a different department that takes care of that.
And it sounds too good to be true, which is... It just is too good to be true. So basically, if your flight gets canceled or rescheduled or delayed more than 3 hours, you are entitled to a full cash refund.
Full?
Full. Not airline credits, not partial. Full cash refund. Full.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. Guess what else?
What else?
If your bag gets lost and isn't delivered within 12 hours, your check bag fee, you get that back.
What year is it?
20 and 24.
What are all these handouts?
I don't know what's going on.
What?
I don't know what's going on.
First of all, can we work on, I like this, but can we also organize to abolish the bag fee?
Period.
Let's put it on there. Let's just be done with that.
Yeah.
No? Because actually, if there is someone who works for the airlines and can, you know, maybe it's just something I don't understand. What does the bag fee pay for?
Right.
And
extra fuel?
What did it start to pay for once it became so much? You know,
right.
Like, or does that just go to the pocket of somebody?
And, you know, due to my recent travels, I discovered that, and maybe everyone else knew this, and I just didn't. What may be a carry-on for some airlines isn't for other airlines.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Real tired of the states' rights over there.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to choose what they want to do.
Right. I hate that little thing at the gate where it's like...
Can it fit in here?
Yeah, put it in there. No, listen, I don't need that anxiety. No.
Because
then it's like, well, what you thought was a carry-on wasn't. Charge you. Bruh.
Well, at the gate, they'll probably just check it. Yeah. That's the issue.
I paid at the gate.
At the gate? You get on? Where you board?
Yeah. I paid at the gate. Only for them to be like, you know, an hour later. Our overhead compartments are looking kind of full. So, if you guys want to bring up your bags... to get, you know, checked to your destination. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And the only reason I had to pay at the gate is because I didn't have a seat designation. So I went up to get my seat designation, and he looked at my bag and was like, yeah, you're going to have to pay for that.
You pay for it. Not personally, though.
Not very helpful, sir. Not very helpful, Delta Associate of Color.
I mean, that's... Okay.
Okay. Homeboy. What are we doing here?
I'm weak. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can, maybe they'll be like Walmart and price match or whatever. So you can call and say, hey, you just enacted this. This has just been enacted. I would like my money back from a previous flight. Please don't be that person, by the way.
I would like points from previous flights. I don't need my money back. Just give me all the points from our courtship. Give me all them. Give me all those miles. That's what I'd like.
I mean, yeah.
I was told that was possible. I don't know. We gonna see. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just distracted.
Oh, gosh.
And I do need to take a moment before we get to this text message to give an extra special thank you for multiple things.
Yeah.
To one Harper.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Fiance Harper.
Yes.
Did not just give to News with My Fiance in one Jack Rudo's face. She also said, fine, I guess I'll give your stupid show some money too. And it is for that that I will never leave her. Together forever. And now, a text message from Rudo that says, morning, Famancies. You are so welcome for all the donors I sent to your peer-to-peer page to help your little show feel love. XOXO, Rudy Booty. You know, we do thank you. Big time.
Oh.
Forever and always. And this time even more, honestly. You know, to have caused a rift in your home for however long we did, we are thankful. And we hope that you guys have, you know, patched it all
healed.
Up. Healed over the week. I doubt it because, in fact, you are a menace.
Rudo is a menace. A menace.
Our little show.
Wow.
Does feel loved. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
For all the donors you sent our way. Appreciate that. Bob hit us up. If a restaurant treated customers like the airlines, do, nobody would eat there more than once.
Period.
Yeah. And I've had those experiences where I'm like, you know what?
I'm not coming back here.
I'm not going to complain. I'm just never coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done with that.
Yeah. I'm not going to make the complaint and have you do whatever you're going to do to my food because of the service.
Such a fantastic point.
I'm just going to never come back here again.
And this is one of the things for me with many industries where it's like, how does this happen? Because where I work, or where in this world, that could never be a thing. Like, I don't understand how they get away with all that they get away with.
Yeah.
Well, I do. Lobbying power is tremendous. But it's wild that is the kind of thing that we have just been like, yeah, you know, you just can't help it.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Everything. You're in the power to do everything. Including give me a free upgrade. What's up with that? I never get free upgrades. I think maybe I've gotten it from one free upgrade. But, like, it's not frequent enough for me to be like, it's a thing. I feel like the one time I've gotten it may or may not have happened because it was that one time, so maybe I imagined
maybe
it. I don't know.
Maybe you made it up.
Yeah.
Unsure. I did get an upgrade when I went to St. Thomas, I think, for the first.
Nice. Was it to business class?
It was the first class.
Shut your mouth.
And I don't know why. I don't remember what happened. I haven't a clue. But it was fun up there.
Wow.
And
it's only one person sitting next to
everybody
you.
Everybody should, like, the whole plane should be first class. That's what it should be.
That's all I want.
It's silly to do what we do. Yeah. Anywho.
Shout out to what Alaska Airlines used to be.
Ooh. Ooh. They were great?
Oh, my God. Glorious.
Okay.
So good.
Oh, I remember this. You definitely, the seats were
sitting,
plush or something.
I
like
was
that.
Sitting in the back. The seats in the back of Alaska Airlines were what you would see in first class of Delta today. That's how plush those seats were. I was like, I've never heard of this airline, even though this thing existed.
Oh, because of the East Coast.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. it was like on the second leg of a flight out here to see you. And I was like, what is this Alaska Airlines? It sounds kind of suspect.
Never. It sounds, you know what?
Because I never heard of it.
I was very,
you know, cautious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Virgin Airlines. You know what you're getting. You're paying for it.
All right.
Have you been on the Virgin Airlines?
Nope.
It's like being in a nightclub.
I've seen it on the internet, but I've never been on.
Yeah.
Another text. This just made my day. XOXO. Harper.
Hey.
Hearts. Good morning.
Man.
So, we're doing a lot today.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that this has been a week for me. I haven't seen a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I have missed a lot of the stuff going on. But one thing I definitely saw was the headline of something to the effect of ex-police officer
mm-hmm.
wanted
double murder.
Amber Alert, double murder, homicide situation. Or wait, mm-hmm. that's not what I meant to say.
Double
murder-suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, what?
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, this was a school resource officer?
Yep. Cool.
Whose girlfriend was...
Give it to him.
A 15-year-old student?
Yes, when they met.
When they met?
Yeah.
And is now 17.
Mm-hmm.
And now has like a restraining order against him.
Mm-hmm.
Or did.
Did. Mm-hmm.
This is a... one more time. A police officer.
Correctamundo.
Turned school resource officer. And by that, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's not on it. His beat's different.
Right.
His beat was grooming the halls of the high school. What Jeez. Do we need school resource officers for if even one, which we know ain't no bad apple,
right.
this is the bushel. As they say, if even just one did this and just one 15-year-old child was impacted by a school resource officer in this way, is that not enough to be like, we should be rethinking this dynamic? It's, something didn't work.
It's enough for you and I. It's not enough for many school boards. Many school boards are in support. Many school districts are in support. No matter how many videos we see of SROs being, you know, completely barbaric with our children, still need them. You know, we still need them.
I mean, just, you remember there was a compilation of videos a few years ago of like school resource officers just body slamming kids.
Yeah.
Like getting them out of, you know, the desks that are yeah. just the single desk
mm-hmm.
and you like snatching them out of those and then body slamming them. I can't imagine what a sitting person could be doing that's so bad that they would need to be choke slammed.
Right. Someone who's sitting
in the classroom.
If there was a video of a parent doing that to their child at home and it made it to the school, they would report that parent to social services.
1,000%. Mandatory report, right?
Like because they would say, there is no circumstance in which you should be treating your child this way. But what you're telling me is it's okay for my tax dollars to pay this person, this professional, to treat my child this way.
Bruh.
And then this person gets to go back to work the next day.
Bruh.
My child possibly is in the hospital, stitches, cast, you know, whatevs. Yeah.
We do not need the police. The police do not stop crime. There are too many who are criminals. There are many who are not just groomers, but... Mm-hmm. Assaulters.
Yeah. Yeah.
S-A-ers, you know?
Yeah.
Big R words.
Harper said, in all caps, no cops in schools.
No cops in schools, baby.
It's just that simple.
It is really that simple.
Yeah.
A slew of text messages.
Yes.
Go through that real quick. Back to the airlines. The exception is, I hope I say this right, Qantas, the Australian airline. Even in coach, they treat you like first class. I guess they have to do, wait, what?
I guess they have to, for a 17 hour.
Wow, I put three words in there while I was reading it that did not exist. Thank you for jumping
17 hour flight. Oh, this is an Australian airline.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Another one. Ooh. I was looking through the 9/11 subreddit earlier this year, and one of the threads covered how flying has changed since 2001. Insanely. According to one thread, the bag fees were intended as a temporary relief for the airlines to bounce back. Temporary relief. It's been over two decades now.
Oh, my God.
Also, good morning, Morgan and Ambush. Malcolm! Good morning, Malcolm. Morning, Malcolm.
That's, oh, wow.
You know, along with temporary things that have been going for over two decades, TSA.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if we could quit the security theater and the lining of an airline's pockets just because temporarily they needed help, a push. But also, why are we in charge of making them bounce back? Like,
right. They didn't get enough bailouts. Like, come on.
Damn, they had to. You know they did.
Right.
We did two wars because of it.
Right. On top of very inflated airline prices. Like, it's just outrageous. Outrageous.
We are continuously paying more, getting less. And then being told that, hey, what are you complaining for? Like, what's your problem? We're keeping you safe. We got to make sure that I don't know. I don't even know how they're selling us on the bag fee still, or if they don't even have to. If it's just like, that's been happening for over 20. I mean,
That's
if you did not know travel before 9/11, this is all you know. And that's that. You do not know what it meant to walk into an airport 20 minutes before your flight and go.
Right.
Not checking a bag. You're out of here, buddy. Get to the gate. You're good to go.
You want to know something else that was temporary? Income taxes. When it was first established, it was to help with the war effort. And it was voluntary.
Huh?
Yep. Yeah. Remember, you're not supposed to be able to tax someone's wages, tax their ability to earn. It's in the Constitution or in something. Like, it's part of our governing paperwork. Like, it's
no taxation without representation.
It's along there. Maybe it's the following paragraph. But yeah, I saw that. Income taxes were a voluntary thing to help with the war effort.
That's
and,
tight.
And then it just got baked into the cake.
That's, you know.
Yay, IRS.
Oh, man. I finally filed my taxes. And then I got a letter from the IRS, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Where do they want with me?
And it was like, you recently did something online. If that wasn't you, we should probably talk. And I was like, oh, my gosh, y'all do work sometimes.
Sometimes. There's a caveat. Crystal said, Alaska used to be great, and then, boom. They blow.
That is
good morning. Love you all.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like Frontier.
Yeah. It went
Frontier used to, when I lived in Denver, I was like, whoa, what is this situation? I flew Frontier everywhere I could.
Yes.
Everywhere I could. Seats were big, leg room, all sorts of things.
Frontier is amazing.
There was an animal on every plane. It was so cute.
It was so great.
You know?
It was so great.
Y'all had me.
Those green seats.
And then all of a sudden, and I do mean, like, I don't remember ever hearing.
Nope.
Oh, they merged at that moment. It was just like, got on a flight and was like, what in the world is this folding chair?
You had to double check. Am I on Spirit?
This is a folding chair.
Am I on Spirit Airlines?
Like bolted into, and not a good folding chair.
No. No.
This isn't a wedding folding chair.
No.
You know?
You nice get event. Nothing.
No padding.
No nothing. No nothing. No water.
Just
no
literally nothing. Laughing at you. A mess.
Bruh.
A mess.
Bruh. B-Town said, "Fiancés, the birthday queen was sleeping in. I'm here now."
Birthday queen!
Happy birthday. B-Town.
We love you. Good morning. Good birthday morning. Or did your birthday happen and you're, you know, recovering?
Right. Oh, that'd be nice.
That's usually nice. My deal.
If you are recovering, it's way too early to be up still. So thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Oh, my gosh.
Bob.
Yes. If you take, and this is all caps, so please know I'm yelling at you when I say this. If you take more than 3 ounces of toothpaste on a plane, the terrorist wins. Y'all. How are we still doing this? It's the travel size industry.
Yeah.
Big travel size.
If you haven't heard of this show or seen this episode, I would encourage you to watch. It's Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still there. And he talks about TSA and, you know, the theater of it. It is so enlightening. It's enraging.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. The terrorists win.
Also, just real quick, just Adam Conover is his podcast, Factually, I think it's called, is a fantastic listen. It's usually a little less than an hour and a half. Okay. So, it's, you know, hour 15, something like that. And it's always a topic that's like, yeah, we need to be listening to this.
Very well researched. I got to subscribe.
Well, he's interviewing. It's all interviews. So it's great. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely check it out.
Ambush, we better tell people what we're talking about today.
I'm with it. I'm with it. So local news, you know, it tickles me so. Renee Gonzalez getting that Mutombo treatment. No, no, no.
No, no, no. Get that finger wagon.
You know, you want to show up at the last minute, like, you know, I don't know, like Doc Brown and papers all over the place and you want to submit. It's like, no. Be prepared. Submit. We'll get into the story.
Yep.
The Vancouver police officer acquitted after threatening to use a taser on a suspect's genitals. I'm going to read that again because you guys probably think I'm joking. A Vancouver police officer acquitted after threatening to use her taser on the suspect's genitals. Well, we got national news.
Well, if we get to it, we'll talk about the millionaire who cosplays houseless to teach the world a lesson. And as I'm sure you can guess, he failed miserably.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Columbia faculty members are riding with their pro-Palestinian protesting students after they've been arrested.
I love it. It's going down in the town.
It really is. Yeah. Real quick, another text. Wonderful morning, y'all. For my birthday today. Oh, it is today. I want no fees and cops are all fired. I love this. And Renee gets a throat sore and never talks again.
That would be glorious.
Birthday wish. Love, P-Town. It's going down today for the big 5-0.
The big 5-0. Killing it.
Big 5-0.
Killing it.
We're going to have to come up with a perfect song to play for you later in the show.
Yeah, because what I got lined up ain't it.
It's not. But it'll happen.
Yeah. All right, we're going to catch you on the other side of this music break.
Well, we picked a story, but we didn't decide who was going to read it.
Well, that was our one of our top of the show topics.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't even like one of the meaty stories that we selected. But there was the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm confused. That with something else.
That's okay.
All right.
I'm gonna jump in.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're talking about police and how helpful they are.
Police.
Let's just keep that going. Another close to home, you know, Vancouver police officer has been acquitted after threatening to use a taser on suspect's genitals. A Vancouver Police Department officer accused of assaulting a 19-year-old has been acquitted of all charges. Weird. Officer Andrea Mendoza faced charges after security and body-worn cameras captured an altercation with a 19-year-old suspect suspected of shoplifting at a Walmart store. The incident escalated when the suspect initially resisted arrest. Footage from the scene showed Officer Mendoza pinning the suspect to the ground, pulling down his pants, and threatening to tase his genitals for 24 seconds. The jury deliberated for nearly 5 hours before returning an acquittal verdict. Jeff Anaya, president of the Vancouver Police Officers Guild, praised the verdict, stating that Officer Mendoza acted lawfully and used minimal force to protect herself and her partner during a violent altercation. He emphasized the importance of officers making split-second decisions in difficult situations.
Mm-hmm.
Mendoza's attorney, John Terry, emphasized that her tactics were legal and justified as self-defense. Terry expressed confidence in the jury's decision, citing the evidence presented during the trial. Clark County Prosecutor Tony Golick, whose office brought charges against Mendoza, did not respond to requests for comment. However, Anaya accused the prosecutor's office of pursuing the case for political reasons, suggesting that it was a move to gain favor with gain favor with members of the public critical of law enforcement.
Yeah, give it to me. What's getting your goat?
Prosecutors are law enforcement.
Yeah.
Prosecutors are law enforcement. They are enforcing laws in the court. What? Why do y'all hate each other?
Well, you enforce your laws against them, not against us. Okay. Know what side you're on.
Point being made. I'll finish. Despite her acquittal, Officer Mendoza remains on paid administrative leave, because she was counting, pending the conclusion of the Vancouver Police Department's internal affairs investigation.
You know, they can just stop that now without wasting our money.
The department is committed to ensuring a thorough review of the incident. I just bet. Vancouver Police spokesperson Kim Kapp confirmed that Mendoza will remain on leave as the agency proceeds with its internal review. The department aims to uphold accountability and transparency in all matters involving its officers. End quote.
Two things here. It said that the defense attorney said that her tactics were legal and justified as self-defense. Self-defense means I can pull your pants down.
I want to sit there. You pulled someone's pants down?
You could have tased them through there. You could have threatened to tase them through their pants. You could have put that taser to their genitals. You know, I'm sure you guys have done it a million times before. You could have threatened that. Tasing works. No one needs to be naked to be tased. Okay?
Or in their undies.
Yeah. But you pulled, and I've seen the video.
Oh, all the way. Wait.
There's no underwear. Naked. Pulled his pants down. It's sadistic. It's sadistic. They are outside. And does anyone need to guess the nationality of the suspected shoplifter? I couldn't believe, what?
Ethnicity.
Yes. Like, acquitted.
Pulling, I cannot understand the text. WTF. Removed the pants? Exactly.
Yeah. It was like past his knees.
What do we mean by that?
Pull pants down past his knees.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling right here. I don't know, obviously, what was presented to that jury, but I'm confused on how we get to not guilty. Like, there's camera. There's body cam evidence. Yeah.
I think this is one of those fine but all too familiar situations where it's, what are they being charged with? Are they guilty of the thing they're being charged with? Right. Have they been charged with the right things in order for this person to receive quote unquote justice?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for them to be able to come out of this on the other side and say, not only was this self-defense, this was justified. Like, no, you do not get to say that. You do not get to say that. Because is there a history of this? Do we see this is just what y'all do? Justified self-defense? Like, what are you talking about?
They do. That they can kill people. Pulling pants down isn't going to be, you know, this is definitely a, well, at least you're alive.
Right.
P-Town said, I'm forever going to pull cops' pants down now to protect myself. I don't suggest that.
There it is. Self-defense.
But I do love the idea.
I am defending oneself.
Yeah, I'm a little... You know, continuously abolish the police, but whilst they're around, I wanted, like, you need to explain why that was a thing. You need to explain why your thought was, let me pull this person's pants down and stick a weapon to their genitals. I mean, the prosecutor did say something to the effect of, if the, you know, sexes were reversed here, this would, there'd be nothing to talk about. And I have to agree.
Absolutely.
I have to agree.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine that being an option. But well, now it is.
I mean,
but now it is, right?
It's happening and it being an option.
Yeah. A precedent has been set. Like, so we just got to just, this is going to be the new thing now, right?
No. Let's not call that into existence.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. And a story like this is the kind that just, like, sucks everything out of me, because what do you mean?
What exactly do you mean
that you are, you know, committed to upholding accountability and transparency when, you know, a year ago you're pulling people's pants down? Uphold accountability? Where's the accountability?
Who should be held accountable, in your opinion?
Yeah, the DA, I guess. They're mad at the, you know, at the prosecutor. We need, I mean, there's too much. There's too much to be fixed around here.
Yeah. It's like, where do you start?
So what do we want to do here? Do we go right into another story? Do we take a quick music break? I want to hear all about Renee, and I want to hear about the millionaire cosplayer. Like, I got to get.
Okay.
You know?
So how about we take a music break and then do two stories?
Deal.
That works? We'll be right back. So, a millionaire cosplay's houseless to teach the world a lesson and fails miserably. I was going to say Les Miserables.
That is it.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
In a social experiment that captured the attention of many, millionaire Mike Black embarked on a journey to intentionally become homeless, with the goal of making $1 million in just 1 year. I can almost stop the story right there.
I mean, honestly.
However, concerns about his health led him to end the challenge early.
Weird.
Faced with the harsh realities of homelessness and the importance of privilege being able to prioritize health and family. There it is. Ah. This entrepreneur decided to abandon his comfortable lifestyle in July 2020, giving up his car, house, and all his money to start afresh. His intention was to prove that with hard work, it was possible to rebuild one's life from scratch, even without the aid of luck or money.
I want off this ride.
You can't. He said, I knew a lot of people who lost everything during the pandemic. I wanted to help my friends rebuild their lives and demonstrate that becoming a millionaire is achievable through determination and hard work. However, Black faced numerous challenges from the first day of his homelessness. He struggled to find basic necessities like water and shelter, experiencing firsthand the difficulties of life on the streets. Despite the initial hardships, Black displayed resilience and resourcefulness. He started small, selling furniture online and acting as a middleman to make his first $300. He started small, selling furniture online.
Where? Whose furniture? No.
He's a middleman. So.
Whose furniture are you selling online? How do you have access to online? What are you bringing to the... What skills have been brought to this table that doesn't exist?
Right. Over time, He managed to secure clients as a social media manager and even launched his own brand of coffee.
While homeless?
Yes. Yet, as Black's journey progressed, his health began to deteriorate. He revealed that he suffered from autoimmune disease and experienced chronic fatigue, prompting him to reevaluate his priorities. My personal health declined to the point where I really needed to start taking care of it, Black shared. The project pushed me over the edge, and I realized that health and gratitude are what truly matter. Ultimately, Black decided to end the challenge after completing 10 months, falling short of his $1 million goal. However, he considers the experiment a success, emphasizing the importance of helping those in need and prioritizing health and family above all else. This YouTube should have buried this. This is insulting. It is.
Bam. Dude said it takes absolutely nothing but grit to make $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it together.
I don't know what all these lazy poors are doing around here. Get up, get out, and get something.
Yeah.
Right? I can make $1 million in a year from. Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, supposedly made 64 grand. Which, even in that, questionable.
Quite. Are you pulling, so you walked outside and decided, now I am houseless. Let me call all my friends and contacts for being a millionaire and see who I can work for.
Whose furniture are you selling?
Like, what are you talking about? What exactly are you talking about?
Never, like, I want to really gave up all his stuff, really has no money, really,
exactly.
Really doesn't have any parachute. Like,
lies.
There's really something to be said about, I'm going to choose to do this to show you how you're able, I guess,
yeah,
to do the same thing.
Yeah, you show your options. No.
The hubris. Like, in what regard?
And I understand, you know, free speech. Everyone has the power to make whatever content they want and throw it up on YouTube. What I'm saying is, that's where shit stops. Like, he should have been ridiculed and heckled in that moment. He should have been bathed in negative comments, and we never heard of this.
Well, the wild thing to me is that there are people defending him that are like, you know, he was trying to do something good. No, he wasn't. He was content farming.
Yeah. Shame on you if this is what trying to do something good looks like.
Right. Also, this just isn't doing something good. That's I cannot imagine saying, I know this thing that I've never experienced so well that I'm going to show the people experiencing it that they don't have to.
Right. Right. You guys don't really.
You're in charge.
Yeah.
Your destiny is yours, right? But I'm not understanding what in the. There's a lot of cuss words I want to be using right now. Because I just can't get past the makes himself homeless. Like, do you hear it? You gave up everything. You watched a lot of people lose everything in COVID, and you were like, let me throw mine out the window to show you that you're just like whining. And then when you didn't do it, you were like, I got an autoimmune disorder, and so I'm going to have to stop being homeless. Is that what happens for people?
Are you listening to yourself, bro? Do you not hear yourself?
I want to know, I'm sick, guys. So I got to go inside. To my house. Like, what?
This is someone who's convinced themselves that they are better than Martin Tricelli.
Oh, God. Oh.
I'm not that type of rich person. I'm not that type of elite.
I don't even. I disagree. Hard disagree. Hard disagree. This person isn't thinking I'm not like that person, except for I'm not like a poor. I'm not like an unmotivated person. Not I'm not like that other rich person. This is I'm not a person who settles for less. You know what I mean?
Right.
The idea that you are going to do this for clicks and then be like, oh, my health, this is wild, guys. But not even equating it to what, why your health would likely decline.
Also,
not saying, oh, my goodness, look at what happens to people's literal physical health when they don't have anything. You don't even put those two and two. This dude is probably like, I can't believe this thing happened to me while I was doing this thing to show the pores.
Here's the thing, right? You got a successful job selling furniture. You established a coffee brand. You're selling coffee. You are doing online. You're media management, what's social media management. Mm-hmm. You can't afford healthcare? Come on. You launched your own coffee brand while being houseless during this experiment, this playing in people's face. You can't just afford healthcare? You can't just...
Do we ever actually see him sleep on the street?
There's a bunch of YouTube videos.
But does he actually sleep on the street? Because the thing I'm reading right here says it's really funny because he actually never once sleeps on the street. The first day he conveniently finds a guy willing to let him sleep on his couch. And another random cut where he miraculously has an office space. So now you're sleeping in your office space. So at what point are you actually houseless on the street? I'm not talking couch surfing.
Right.
There's a humongous difference. And if your health was impacted by sleeping in your office, imagine which people are getting offices handed to them. How many people that are currently living on the street do in fact have couches to go sleep on?
Right.
Like, be for real.
P-Town says, not only do I want off the ride, I want my epic money back. And you know what? Department of Transportation will make sure you do get your
job. Did the airline do it? I can't. Concerns over your health make you quit the challenge you gave yourself?
Right. To prove which point again?
I can't get past that this person doesn't equate the two.
Right.
That doesn't have anything to do with the other. One doesn't have anything to do with the other. I fell short of my goal.
And then move the goalpost.
But it certainly showcases, you know, the power of determination or something.
If you don't go somewhere, if you don't find somewhere to go other than here.
What
please.
A dweeb.
Super dweeb.
And for folks to call it daring, like the people that I saw, responding, God, who knows if they're people anymore, but the responses I saw, like, that was a daring journey and, you know, experiment. And no,
we live in a world where people go on reality TV shows to live in the wilderness for 100 days. There are so many challenges that life presents living in this society with all the systems of oppression. I will never understand being in a place of privilege where I would choose to deny myself any creature comfort that I'm already overcharged for.
Right. Struggling to have,
struggling to keep. I would never imagine volunteering myself to something that I know is going to be anguish. When I walk into a room, just naturally, you look for the most comfortable chair to sit in, right? You don't purposely go to the arm or the sofa. You don't try to sit on the floor first. You know, you don't try
At least if you're an American.
Right. Like, you want to find the most comfortable place just to take the weight off.
Again, might be uniquely American.
I don't.
Or Western. Yeah. Western.
Yeah. I don't get this. It's insulting. It's insulting. You're playing to people's faces and you want applause for it. You want to be recognized as this great, like, he set out to do this to prove what he thought was an amazing point. And he was looking to be on the front cover of Time, Good Morning America. He was like, oh, I'm about to eat. This is it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just in further review, this man said one of the best things to sell are tables. I started taking ads on Craigslist in the free section and putting them on Facebook Marketplace and selling them for a profit.
How?
So he's the Goodwill.
How'd you have internet access? To, and how did you physically acquire these tables to then sell?
Well, fantastic question. I acted as the middleman, handling all the logistics between the buyer and the seller. Who needs that when you are in the free section?
Yeah, because they're not selling them. They're giving them away.
Because he's not. Yeah.
You're not a middleman.
The free.
Yeah. You're not a middleman. You're not in between the buyer and seller. It's a free item. It's not being sold.
Imagine you're giving a table away and someone shows up having paid online or something and they're like, man, thanks so much for the $50 table. And it's like, wait, whoa. I put this on this was free.
Right.
What do you mean? Who'd you pay $50 to?
Who's making $50 on this?
Because I feel like it should be me that makes $50 if it's my table.
Bruh.
After 2 weeks in, he was able to secure his own office space. And after just over 1 month, he finally had a place to rent. Not doing this.
Get away from me.
Also, is that an industry? Are you showing us how, like, is this now what are they called? A masterclass or a seminar? Are you going to sell us a PDF of how to become a 64,000-aire? By selling other people's free things. Again, I say, this is Goodwill.
Yeah. It's good riddance.
I want absolutely nothing to do this. We have to move on to Renee because our time is short.
Yes.
And I'm going to jump in.
All right.
Boy, oh boy, is this like, I can't get rid of that one. That one is really,
it sticks to you.
It's getting me real, real peed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kind of thing I would likely continue to yell about. Like, it just ramping me up.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be Saturday afternoon. You're going to be kicking back, chilling. You're like, and you know what?
That is so
true. Welcome to our weekend, guys.
Everybody's favorite. Nope. Nobody's favorite. Mayoral candidate.
Oh my gosh.
Did some more of the FS and I'm over it.
The F's and the S's.
Yeah. In a narrow vote of 3-2, the city council rejected Commissioner Renee Gonzalez's alternative camping ban proposal meant to give future mayors more control over the visibility of homelessness. I'd like to sit on that one for a sec because if there's nothing to fix, like, visibility,
right?
Like optics. That's definitely where our energy, money, resources should go.
You know, if we could just get these optics handled.
Commissioner Gonzalez's proposal emerged a week ago as a response to Mayor Ted Wheeler's homelessness regulations. Initially, Gonzalez's plan advocated for stricter measures, including potential jail sentences for violators. However, the past week, the proposal underwent significant revision. Mm-hmm. Gonzalez's plan stirred controversy, seen as a move intended to give future mayors more control over the visibility of homelessness, and with its call for up to 6 months of jail time for violators. As tensions mounted and debates continued, Gonzalez's proposal transformed.
Mm-hmm.
During the session at City Hall, the council debated Gonzalez's latest draft, which notably removed the criminal penalties, upped the fine to $1,000, and again put all decision-making in the hands of the mayor or mayor's designee. While some saw this as a step towards a more humane approach, others, including Mayor Wheeler, expressed concerns over the shift in power dynamics, with authority resting primarily in the mayor's office. The debate reached a climax as Gonzalez defended his proposal, citing the success of similar approaches elsewhere.
Oh.
Gonzalez said, quote, Gresham seems to be having reasonable success without criminalizing. The reality is, no one in this room knows with certainty what's going to motivate people who are service resistant to make better choices.
Maybe because you don't have the right people in the room.
Amidst hours of deliberation and public testimony, the council voted, with Commissioners Rubio and Maps aligning with Mayor Wheeler against Gonzalez's proposal. Post-vote, Wheeler and Rubio criticized Gonzalez for the last-minute changes. Rubio saying, quote, "We had a revised camping policy that struck the right balance and was ready for council consideration. Then, late yesterday, Commissioner Gonzalez put a different approach on the table that is inhumane and will no doubt be immediately legally challenged," adding, "It criminalizes houselessness with or homelessness without an opportunity to choose a path toward treatment, and that's not what Portlanders want." Mayor Wheeler remained adamant that such critical decisions should involve the entire council, not just the mayor's office. Adding to the complexity of this situation, the backdrop of the discussion was the U.S. Supreme Court's recent hearing on the landmark case regarding street camping regulations in Grants Pass. And this could have significant implications for how cities across the West Coast address houselessness.
Welcome to Portland under Rene Gonzalez. Rene's vision for a Portland's future. I am mayor, and I get to decide what to do with my serfs. House of citizens.
I mean, I really don't understand how I'm just going to float this real quick at the city council. Like, how many times have we done this? How many times will they let this continue to happen? You're just wasting our time.
Yeah.
And our resources.
There was something that was previously discussed. Everyone was ready to vote on it, and then you switched it up at the last minute. Like, he's not even trying to do anything incrementally. If this was something that was previously discussed, you had an amendment previously discussed, everyone was like, yeah, we're good with this.
Right.
You wouldn't even let that pass and wait until the following week to be like, hey, I'd like to make some adjustments. I don't know who's worse. No, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know who's worse with this, him or Mingus. But no.
Yeah. Well, Mingus got this one right, and I wonder why.
How did he manage to do that?
Yeah, I wonder how.
Right.
I also, like, what is this man's complete and total obsession with the fire department? I've got to know what's happening here.
It's like good choosing. Mingus takes the cops.
Yeah.
And he takes fire.
That's a good point.
These are our boys.
I can't get over some of this, like, service resistant.
Right.
What do you mean?
Right. Michelle said, service resistance is such a nefarious term. How about ask why those people aren't being served?
Hello?
Because they need mental health or addiction care. Because their dog can't be in a shelter. Because they're a family that can't be separated. Because they work night shift.
Hello?
The people who need to take responsibility are the officials letting these chasm-sized gaps persist. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Service resistant. You're putting the onus on who just with that phrase? Like,
oh, well, it's...
Yeah.
We have no... There's no question that Renee thinks that anybody, much like Mike Black over there, anybody outside chose it because they're lazy or they want to... Kevin Dahlgren, this is an industry for people. I get to tell you, they want to be homeless because they get to do drugs
and live off
the shadow economy that is, yeah. I mean, like, really think it through. Even if the assistance that they get is SNAP benefits, a one person, you know, no money situation is not even the SNAP benefits isn't enough. It's like $200 a month. That's not enough.
And now you can't, you can't do bottle returns in certain places now. Living it up out here.
The thing that gets me, one of the many things that gets me is the fact that we just continuously focus on all of the wrong things, spend our time, spend our money, on those wrong things, get nowhere, then all the political sides or whatever are, you know, barking at each other about how, you know, the Republicans and Democrats don't do anything. And meanwhile,
I like that voice.
Thank you. Meanwhile, those two parties are arguing about optics. Those two parties are arguing about fining people with no money. Like, let that you want to fine someone with no money $1,000 so that you can then put them in jail for not paying the $1,000 fine?
Like, explain that alone. That alone, right?
Where are they getting it?
What is this? What this fines? What are these fines being allocated to? What city services are designated for these type of fines? I'd love to know that. Also, if your understanding is that this population does not have money, and they need to bootstrap themselves into selling tables or social, you know, managing social media accounts, you are going to now hit them with $1,000 penalty, which they'll default on, which also becomes something that can turn into additional baggage for them. I'm not even sure, because if you don't pay a parking ticket, it escalates, right?
Right.
So it's $1,000 you're asking someone to pay who's, you know, is not in the position to pay that money. I'm curious as to, again, where is the money going and what does this escalate into? And then thirdly, which is actually the most important question, why do you think, what are the circumstances in which you think someone has this money? Is this like the cross section of the fentanyl drug dealer that lives on the streets? Like, I don't, like, I'm really
the wrong
confused.
Word. It's kingpin.
The fentanyl kingpin.
Yeah.
Is this the target for $1,000 fine? Who is this for? Who are we targeting? Who are we expecting to be able to pay this?
Well, I think that's the point. They don't.
Right.
They do not expect the payment. They expect to be able to say, we have taken the criminality off of the table and we're making it a fine. But what is the punishment for not making the for not being able to pay the fine? If it is jail, this is still a criminal punishment.
And I think if we had the opportunity to ask Renee, he would probably say something to the effect of, or anyone that supports this initiative would say something to the effect of, well, that's the point, right? If they don't have the money, then that should, you know, be a motivation to get off the street. You're trying to financially scare them. Do you know what it means to be so financially challenged that nothing matters?
No, they don't. That's the thing. That is, that's one. But at no point do we take the moment and go, let's actually look at the reason this is happening, right? Instead, you have people in positions of power who have the ability to reshape, to change, to create policies that end poverty. That end it. I don't think in a capitalist society we are going to do that, so to be clear. But if even the visibility is what matters to you, then you will want this to be more than a temporary fix if it matters to you.
Right.
But it isn't. It's a bullet point. It's a thing to run on. It's a thing to be mad at. It's a thing to, you know, yell with your fist in the air.
Right.
Because if your idea is let's fix it by spending, like they always say, don't throw money at after bad or whatever, but literally while doing it, you want to do this the most expensive, least effective way and call that the only way we can, you know, like that's the humane way, because it is enabling people to live on the street or to be at it otherwise. Punishing people does not fix addiction. It doesn't scratch the surface of addiction. How do we know? How many addicts have been in and out and in and out? Because that's what addiction does.
Right.
Addiction puts you in positions where you are going to do something, sometimes anything,
yeah,
to get the thing you need. Also, it is completely mind-blowing to me that any single person still believes that by going to jail, that means drugs are not available.
And you guys need to know that Renee does not believe that.
There's no way he believes that. And if it is, then he's just literally living in a fantasy world, because you cannot, Multnomah County Jail doesn't have drugs in it?
Come on, man.
No jail has drugs? No prison? And if that were true, would we not have a far less addicted society already, because we have locked up so many people for the pettiest of crimes, like shoplifting?
Right.
In order to survive. And yes, addiction does mean survival. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to something. If you are doing something, if that is part of your life, you are still in survival mode. These are not, I'm choosing to do this because it's fun and right. I would much rather just not work.
These aren't options. Yeah, it's... I interrupted you to say that because I really need people to understand, like, you'll see all these comments and, of course, some of them are bots. And then you'll see people, some of Renee's supporters that are riding with him that don't understand how disingenuous that not just him, but a lot of our leadership is. They're saying one thing, knowing full well that's not how things go. They're close enough to these situations. They're in constant communication with community-based organizations that are beating down their doors, that are sending them emails, that are popping up at these city council meetings. They know what the actual solutions are. They know what the effective means of tackling these problems are. They do not want to do it. And instead, they are selling us, or attempting to sell us, things that benefit them. That's it. That's it. Whoever's pockets are being lined, whoever, is setting them up for the next seat that they want to run for, campaign dollars, like, that's all this is about. This is not about solutions. And I hate having conversations with people just in my everyday life that aren't solution based, when there's an issue on the table. And we just keep talking about the issue and how it makes us feel and how it affects us. And that's great. But we want to get out of this. We want to move forward. Let's talk solutions.
Let's implement and fund solutions and stop talking about these temporary band-aids. Like, I also want to make sure that we point out that what it means by, Maps, Rubio, and Wheeler saying no, Dan Ryan said yes.
Hello. One more time. Could you repeat that?
Dan Ryan said, sure, I like it.
I wish I had like that echo. Put some reverb on your voice.
Dan Ryan said, sure, I like it. I like it. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mans definitely was like, I'm in. I'm in for it.
Yeah. Dan said, sounds good. Let's do it.
Dan Ryan running in District 2. Are you kidding me?
Y'all better not.
Are you kidding me that you would say yes to that? No, you're not. These people are completely unserious about it all. It all. Like, I'm thankful that this was rejected, right? I do wonder, for Mingus, who does, in fact, want the same thing. And by that, I mean the power to rest with the mayor, because he thinks he'll be it, in which he won't. I want to know what part of it that made him say no. Was it just that... somehow the police didn't get extra money, or
I would love to hear from Dan Ryan about what part made him say yes.
So I would also, yes, absolutely.
Like, too often he's allowed to just skirt away, you know, and just hide behind it and never answer for his decisions. Never.
Sorry, I'm just seeing something that I want to make sure I get the date right.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a mayoral debate. And is it today, Thursday?
Uh-oh.
Renee Gonzalez, Mingus Maps, and Carmen Rubio, who are all currently Portland City Commissioners, will take part in the debate at the Hilton Doubletree Lloyd Center Cascade Ballroom. Here we go. The debate, hosted by the National Association of Minority Contractors Oregon, begins at 5:30 p.m. with the doors opening 30 minutes earlier. We'll be live streamed through Open Signal. Shout out Open Signal.
And that is today?
You'd think that it would...
NAMC. Shout out to them. They're in Lloyd Center, third floor.
The three leading candidates to become the next mayor of Portland will meet Thursday night in a debate hosted by Coin6 News political director Ken Boddy. maybe that's just tonight. I'm going to... You do something and I'll keep looking. Because that's a big deal. I mean, tonight, guess what I'm doing tonight?
Tuned in. You're going to be tuned.
Should I mean, can I go? Can we be there?
That's all I'm saying. That'd be nice. That'd be nice to pop up and grab a microphone. Ken, that's not what I wrote on the cue card. That's not what I asked. Please don't paraphrase. Okay. Also, where do you guys stand on Palestine? I need to know.
Oh, boy.
I need to know. Yeah, that would be great to go to that. Ultimately, guess what? Ladies and gents, balls in our court, citizens. We decide who the next mayor is. There isn't an electoral college that does that at a city level yet. You know, so we get to decide. We really get to decide this. Sure, there's millions of dollars that are poured into these campaigns to try to sway our decisions and give us the information they want us to have, but it's really incumbent on us to do the research. It's really down to us to make sure we know who we're supporting, not just in the way of what they mean to the city, but who are these people? Please, this is the same Renee, again, that lied about being assaulted. It has to matter.
It really does.
Is that his grabbing by the, you know, P moment for Trump? Not necessarily.
Well, that wasn't a moment, so please don't let it be that. Because
right.
That never ended up meaning a thing.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at.
No, but I mean, that's literally where I'm going, though, in the way that it's not meaning a thing.
Right.
You know? It needs to mean the thing, because again, it's more of an indictment on us if it doesn't.
Period. That event is in fact today.
Okay. Yeah. It's an indictment on us if these things, if him being honest, him being unapologetic doesn't mean anything, we have an issue. He is not a viable candidate. Outside of his policies, his behavior alone. Do you want someone like that to be your mayor? Can't say I'm sorry. Can't say I made a mistake.
I mean,
error enough for it to be a fake apology. Like, that's where I'm at with it. You can't even, like, you don't even feel it's necessary to play the game.
Right.
Right. You can just be brash.
Oh, man. Reminds me of the current season of Survivor, not the brash part.
Survivor.
There's a person on there who, well, spoiler alert, I think, if anyone doesn't want to know this, but there's a person who absolutely is like, this is my most favorite show. I love this game. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy to be here, but has no idea how to play that game.
What?
None whatsoever. None. Absolutely none. I mean, that show is, you got to lie to everybody. You know, I'm with you and right. You only, or we got an alliance over here and we're doing this and that. And like,
and they're playing patty cake.
Not only not great at the physical challenges, but also very heart on his sleeve in the way of, I think everybody's going to vote me out today, and so I'm going to cry about it now. And I don't know there was moments that he was thinking this would, you know, so much sympathy would keep me on or something. But it just turned every single person off and was like,
get him out of here.
Can't be serious. You don't know how to play this game. You keep telling everybody's business. You're doing all the wrong things. Like, so kind of the same. Like, you're just, you showed up. You don't know how, or you don't care to play the game. And you're just like, I'm going to, you know, crash Bandicoot my way through it, I guess. I don't know.
It was funny. I was about to ask you, did the person cry yet? And then you said it. I was like, oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, they cried a lot. And I'm here for crying.
Yeah.
I'm here for all the emotions, but not when it's like, I can't believe you guys will vote me out when I want to be here so bad.
Because
but you keep telling our business.
Because
you're not a team player.
Wanting to be here the most is why you should be able to be there. Wanting to be mayor more than the next person is why. Qualifications aside.
Yeah.
Policies aside. Issues aside. I really want it, guys.
Yep.
You should all just chill out. Let me be mayor. And handle this visibility when it comes to houselessness. Okay?
I need to say before we are out of time that this mayoral debate is in fact sold out at this point. Like you needed to have RSVP'd before this, so this is my bad.
Okay.
But still viewable on the live stream. Shout out again to Open Signal.
They do a fine live stream, those people.
There's an Eventbrite for it. You can go there. We'll throw it in the story.
Cool.
Stories. Maybe, you know, right after the show. Yeah. But I want to make sure that we are able to play a, you know, happy birthday to P-Town 50th. Something that would really, you know, be a theme song for the 50th year.
I hope that works.
Oh, it absolutely.
Oh, good.
We are on the same page.
All right.
Because it's important landmark or keep in mind the landmark. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's a big birthday. And I hope that this is a theme that you can take with you throughout your 50th year.
You're listening to X-Way FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halo, Wheeler, Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. And this was Lose My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, and our podcast editor Kyle G. Thank you to everyone that texted in with the show.
We love you.
We didn't get a chance to read all the texts, but we will get those texts in the episode description. The playlist is updated, and you know how we do. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. P-Town, this goes out to you.
Bye.